Hello and welcome to The Nerd Alternative, a sweet melting pot of all things nerdy. On this corner of the internet, we dive into the depths of films, games, anime, and TV shows through a black British lens. I'm Ram, your host, a self-confessed film buff, fast reader, and amateur hashtag gamer girl. Let's get into it. Everybody loves a bit of sci-fi these days, and it's not hard to see why. We're living through a time where sometimes real life is actually much stranger than some of the dystopian stories we were reading and watching 15 years ago. The Kitchen leans into this uncanny space, presenting a sprawling estate in a near-future London, where a community of mostly black and brown residents find themselves in opposition to a government that is trying to push them out. These are things that we've seen before. But the backdrop is heightened by a London that feels both familiar and unfamiliar, empty and clean in the rich areas but filled with neon screens and police drones in the film's main setting. The story follows loner Izzy and 12-year-old Benji, who has recently lost his mother, as they navigate their relationship and the volatile world around them. Co-written by Daniel Kaluuya and Joe Murtagh, and directed by both Daniel and Kibwe Tavares, the film stars top boys Kane Robinson as Izzy, newcomer Jedediah Bannerman as Benji, Hope Ipoku Jr. as Staples, and Ian Wright as Lord Kitchener. About 10 years in the making, the film premiered as the closing film of BFI London Film Festival on October 2023, and today we're going to talk about it with a special but familiar guest. So, let's get into the review. Today you are joined by me, Ram, your host, and we also have a special guest slash honorary host in the house who goes by the name of Levi.
Hey guys.
Woo! I'm back. He's back. So today we are talking about The Kitchen, which we both had the pleasure of seeing at a special screening presented by Dark Matter the day before it released on Netflix, which was the 19th of January. I'm sure by now a lot of people have watched it. I feel like it was trending number one on Netflix, which is really nice to hear all the time or to see, because yeah, we want to make sure that like when these black films are being made that people actually go out and see them, because then that shows the industry that there's monetary value behind it, even though that's not what film should just be about. But unfortunately, we live in a capitalist society. I guess we're just gonna dive straight into it. I guess I want to preface this whole conversation by saying this. Obviously, this was Daniel's co-director debut, and also his writing debut, I guess, apart from like the stuff that he would have done on like Skins and stuff. So there is a lot of, I think you can kind of feel that in the film a little bit. At the screening, there was a Q&A which had the co-director, Kibwe Tavares, the producer, Dan Emerson, casting director, Aisha Bywaters, and the production designer who recently won a BIFFA, Nathan Parker. And they kind of talked a little bit about the process of filming and some of the things that went into it. So we'll probably reference some of that throughout. But yeah, let's kind of get into it. We're gonna just dive straight into spoilers, by the way, because I feel like you shouldn't really listen to an episode about a thing that you don't really want to know. But I guess we can briefly just talk about non-spoiler thoughts very briefly. So I will say that I really enjoyed this film. I think that I liked what they were going for. I think it could have been more ambitious, personally. I think there could have been more that went into it, but obviously I understand there's like budget constraints. And again, like I said in the beginning, this is kind of Kibwe and Daniel's debut. So I think some of that might have like fed into it. And I feel like they did a lot for, I don't know exactly what the budget was for this film, but it felt like they did a lot for what they had. So we don't have how much the movie cost, but I feel like you could tell that the production designer Nathan Parker, when he was talking about the set and thinking about like ingenious ways of like creating that sense of like a future London and stuff, I think that definitely, you could definitely tell that they got creative with like how they decided to film the film. So yeah, I would say overall I really enjoyed it. I think there were parts that I wish that they had pushed a little bit further. I really enjoyed the chemistry of the cast. And yeah, I'll leave it there. What are your non-spoiler thoughts?
Non-spoiler thoughts? There's not really much to spoil, to be honest with you. I think the film does a good job of, again, setting the scene, setting the vibe as someone who grew up in an estate myself, building a sense of community without doing too much narrative storytelling per se. There's an okay story of, I guess, fatherhood and community, and there's some interesting themes explored throughout the film, but to me personally, I feel like it spreads itself a bit too thin. There's a couple too many concepts for me that get touched on and then sort of just left to the wayside. And there's, bearing in mind, there's not much of an actual narrative story in this film, so it kind of feels like there's just something missing, I would say.
Okay, well, I guess let's go into the spoiler talk then. So what would you say was missing? I will, to kind of pick up on what you were saying, I think that instead of focusing necessarily like on a narrative, it was more about exploring certain themes, I think, to me. So like the themes of fatherhood, the themes of like community, the themes of class, of, to some degree, I guess, gentrification and, you know, rich versus poor and all that kind of stuff. And I think it had all those aspects in there, but maybe they were all maybe a little bit too like tangentially related as opposed to being more of a like a really tight-knit story. I kind of feel like in the middle of it you had this like father-son story of a father who is very selfish, doesn't want to acknowledge his son, but has also been made selfish that way because clearly they live in a society where it's like he's got to save all this money to get a one-bedroom place that doesn't even have a real window. So I guess for me, there were a few questions around like why he was selfish. Like, was he selfish? Is he naturally that selfish, or is he selfish because he is a product of his environment? So you kind of had that. And then I feel like the wider themes of like class and community were kind of floating around that, but I don't know that they necessarily always felt super well connected, which, even still thinking, I don't know if I like that or I don't like that, if that makes sense. I'm still conflicted about it because I kind of like that they were separate. That felt almost more natural. Like, obviously in this world, in this day and age, like we have so much stuff that's just like happening around us, and we have our own like things that are going on in life, so that almost felt a bit natural to me. But yeah, I don't know, what are your thoughts? Do you want to elaborate on what you said?
I think, and I've battled with this a lot because, you know, I think we the first time we saw it, it was at the Picture House, and you know, I can't remember the fella's name. Was it Isaac something? Sorry,
yeah,
he's now, before this, I had not even seen a trailer for this going in. I knew it was like it had some sort of futuristic setting, and that was all I knew about the film. And he said something, because I've been trying to wrap my brains why I had this certain expectation of what, I don't know what I was expecting, but he mentioned about Attack the Block, right, and what that meant for like black British film, but also science fiction as well, and like in the black space. And I feel like at that point I started to almost anticipate some sort of, not an epic story, but you know, like I guess I was going in on a mindset of science fiction with us black people included, and obviously the film was something totally different. Now when I went in to watch it the second time, I did think to myself, I've seen this film, I want to focus on what you said about the themes that are running throughout the film. And it's weird because the film got worse the second time I watched it, and I feel like those themes that you touch on, it was a lot of like, this is a scene that represents this, and you're like, okay, this guy wants to get out the hood, oh, his flat is not that nice. I feel like it was very slow, and the scenes didn't really move much of anything on. And I don't feel like there needed to be some sort of grand narrative story, but you know, it's Benji comes back to the dad. Is he his dad? I feel like they done a lot of him just saying, "Are you my dad?" without any sort of plot. It just felt like a really massive coincidence that he just worked in this funeral home, and at his past flame is having a funeral the same night that his son that he didn't know was there. It just felt like there was a lot of plot, like, I wouldn't call them plot holes because you can easily fill them in, but like just move into another scene and then you're just like, oh, we're here. Oh, Izzy doesn't like, not doesn't like him, but he's leaving him again, you know. Mm-hmm. Oh, he's not a good dad. Oh, he wants to try. And I just feel like, we didn't get enough of any character's sort of backstory or inner workings of their mind to kind of just get a better understanding of why they're doing what they're doing. Mm-hmm. We didn't get much of a explanation as to the world or why the state of London is in it's in to give us a bit more, you know, food to feed us later on. And things are just happening. We don't know why they mention that they're illegally living in this massive estate, which I don't even understand that. I don't know what paranoia draws to real life. I don't know.
I assumed that was like, clearly the government or some company has bought up the land and they're supposed to leave and they've just decided that they're not going to leave. That's how I read that.
Okay, I read it like that, but then it just, I don't know, it just felt a bit like their way of dealing with it is just to go in and just beat them until they leave. And I just felt like
were not just beating them, they were like literally forcibly removing them. I feel most of the people that they were grabbing to take
just
them out.
Grabbing random people. I don't know. It just felt a bit, I don't know. To me, it just, maybe I was having a bit, well, I mean, the first time I felt like I was having a bit of a bimbo moment watching a film, because sometimes I watch films, especially like very deep thematic films, if you get what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. And I do feel like it goes over my head. But when I watched it the second time, I was still kind of like, well, I feel like I'm doing some work in regards to like putting characters here where they are in their headspace to be here and there and things. And it just, I don't know. It just felt not fully there. Sometimes, especially the second time I watched it, I felt like there were scenes missing.
I get what you're saying, but I think for me, I disagree slightly. I do think that because, so the event was hosted by Isaac Tomicek. I'm not sure how to pronounce his last name, yeah, so if I pronounce it wrong, sorry. He was a writer, director, and we'll come back to this again in almost a full circle moment at the end, but he opened it kind of talking about how Attack the Block was this amazing kind of moment for Black British film and Black British genre films, which we don't get a lot of. And it kind of married, you know, having this culture, but also having things that like sci-fi that we don't usually see Black people in, like you mentioned. And I think him framing it that way did kind of, for you, maybe like misplace the movie a little bit in terms of like what to expect. And it wasn't just you, because I heard a few people being like, I wouldn't really consider that sci-fi. And I think I read it more as speculative fiction, which is more kind of, you know, imagining what London would look like if everything that we're dealing with now is like dialed up to be a bit more extreme. It's kind of like in that middle ground to me anyway, of being not too far from the future, but also not being like way off that we don't recognize anything that's going on. So I really liked that approach. And that's kind of why I liked the fact that some things were like vague and it felt more like you were being dropped into a situation without having to have all of the characters be figured out, because you're just kind of there observing like what is their day to day, and therefore not everything needs to make sense. I think what maybe we both would agree on, or for me anyway, it was less about the vagueness and more about like the tension. Like I felt like I should have felt more stressed or more tense than I was at times. So especially since we had the forced removals happened about three times over the course of the movie. And I think the first time it was kind of like, oh, what's going on? And you kind of see the stakes. But I don't feel like by the time we got to the end that the stakes had risen each time. And I don't really know what it was, because I think obviously at the end, Benji and Izzy are the ones who are potentially going to be taken away. And I don't know whether maybe the way that it ended so abruptly made it more confusing. But I think, yeah, for me, it was kind of that tenseness. I think the only time I really felt it was Lord Kitchener, who is played by Ian Wright, was like being beaten, and you could hear it over the speakers. And obviously the day after, everyone feels dejected because there's no music. Like usually after each one of these attacks, like he's always there to bring up the vibes again and like give that motivational speech to be like, we're not moving. But yeah, I don't know, even that scene did make me feel that way, but then after that it just kind of dropped off, and I still haven't been able to put my finger on what it is that was missing. But maybe it was that there should have been more scenes, or maybe it was that there should have been more, I don't know, something to make it more tense. I don't know what it was exactly.
I do feel like there was a bit of a slight lack of a emotional connection to the characters. And I think I could think of a lot of little throwaway lines you could have just to show you how each character might interact with another character. I think I can't remember the guy's name that's from Top Boy.
Staples,
yeah. He had maybe like one interaction with Izzy that I can remember, and I don't actually think they ever spoke film.
Yeah, I think he came and gave the bike back, but he didn't say anything.
And I just feel like there was, I felt like watching it, there was a lot of missed opportunities, and I don't feel like you have to take every single one of them. But I think if you're throwing out, this is just my perception of what I would think are good ideas, like the parallels of the raids with, you know, police brutality in the States, like, you know, like Broadwater in the past, and even down to just in the culture, like, the battle between, you know, old people telling people don't go and hang out with the local gang or whatever, and the sense of camaraderie and things that young boys feel with those people. I see all of those themes. I see them in the film, and I think, like, it's almost like the critic in me is kind of like, I like what they're doing here, but then the average consumer of a film, I just felt like I was that person in me wasn't being fed. I felt like, I don't feel like I was quite being entertained. Does that make sense? And I feel like you can strike a balance. I think when a casual consumer of a film starts to take in those themes, I think that's when you've really done a stellar job in your work, as opposed to some films where you have to kind of not calling it homework, but you have to watch it quite intently. Do you know what I mean?
I guess I do agree about the interactions between certain characters, especially I think when we were talking about it initially, I wanted to see more from Staples and his kind of gang, and I'm using gang intentionally here, but like I wanted to see more of them, because when you think about it, they were doing the good work, so to speak, like going out, raiding, getting food, kind of being that like youth, disruptive youth presence. And one thing that I did really like about that I felt was really refreshing is like, usually, you know, for example, take Top Boy or like any of other Top Boy adjacent show, it's like when that young person is being pulled into this gang, it's usually to do, you know, drugs or whatever. And I feel like in this instant, obviously Izzy didn't approve, and yeah, you could say what they're doing is criminal, but in this case, it like you wouldn't necessarily view it in the same type of like, it was more disruption and more, I guess, fighting back against the oppressors and that kind of behavior. And I think that was nice to see, that it wasn't like, oh, come, we're gonna like indoctrinate you into doing this like shady thing. But I think what the disconnect there for me was, not having, I feel like almost like if Izzy and Staples were almost like not fighting over Benji, but almost having that like, you know, he feels like he needs to choose one or the other, then that would have brought a certain tension to it. And maybe that would have like, you know, Izzy and Staples don't need to be beefing, but if there's a bit more animosity between them, I think that would have maybe added something more interesting to the movie. And I think also Benji obviously is not from the kitchen. And so I know that Staples was nice to him, and that's why he's kind of like wrapped up. But I think the scene where the kitchen retaliates and they go into I don't know, central London or wherever the hell it is, and they do like all the like smash and grabs and all that kind of stuff. I think that would have felt even more tense if Benji was really buying into what they were doing in the first place. Like, he's not from the kitchen, so I didn't really understand what his investment was in the kitchen, given that he's quite new. He did a great job acting in general. And that was like a stellar performance. I really hope that he gets more work, but I think, yeah, narratively there was maybe something that could have tied that in a bit better.
Yeah, I think as well, because Benji didn't seem like he lived in a very good situation, and you know,
he didn't live in the kitchen.
Yeah, but his you know, his house looked a bit shit, didn't it? And you know, his mum died and he was in this house alone, no social work or anything came for him. And it just made me, it just kind of made me think, I wonder what kind of world this is now. Do you know what I mean? It's, especially seeing as these things happen so early on in the film, it did build a sense of intrigue of like, what world, what dystopian world where children are just left? And it just kind of wasn't explained, but it was in a way that I was just sort of, you know, like, well, Benji, his area doesn't look that good, but he's in the kitchen running around, like you said, running around with these guys. And you can make the inferences, because there are parallels to real life about children, young black boys not having role models and not having anything to do. So they're hanging out with the wrong crowd. But again, this is us doing the work. This is us using knowledge of similar situations in real life and applying it to the film. And it's those are the things that I'm talking about. You know, it only takes one conversation between Izzy and Staples, or us to show maybe the dark side of what Staples is doing, because he was portrayed very much as a Robin Hood character. He was there like, yeah, we don't need, what does he say? I don't want you, we just want this or whatever, and handing it out to the people. And even the way that they were doing their smash and grabs, just never felt quite, because usually you get with those characters, you get to a stage and it's like, I hear what you're saying, but I know what you're doing is wrong. And it never quite gets that way. Even when they're like assaulting the police officer at the end, it never feels like they're doing it, they're going too far. Mm-hmm. And I think Staples and his crew is probably one of the biggest missed opportunities. Now, maybe that's not the story they wanted to tell, and he just wanted to focus on the fatherhood. But I feel like, especially with young black males, I think that would have been such a powerful element to add into that, the external fatherhood roles that boys find themselves in with the absence of a father, especially when you literally had all of the ingredients right in front of you for that meal and didn't make the meal, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it seemed like this film was in development for a really long time. And I think Kibwe, who is the co-director, did mention that there was at one point going to be like almost like a Fagin from Oliver Twist type character that was going to be like controlling all the young people to go out and do this kind of stuff. So I'm wondering if maybe the absence, that's kind of where that came in, where maybe that's why it feels like something's missing, because they took that character out and maybe didn't go back to strengthen that plot line. But yeah, I guess like you said, there were like so many different elements in the films and I guess the story that they wanted to tell focused more on Benji and Izzy's relationship. But I think the movie would have still been stronger for strengthening everything else around it, because I think then that end moment is quite powerful, but I think it's just let down by the lack of like tension beforehand. Obviously he did potentially kill a police officer, so you know that they're, you know, gonna be gotten. But I don't know, it's weird. I kind of like the vagueness of it. I know that you didn't completely love it, but I agree in terms of like certain places where they could have just taken those small opportunities, like you said, to just make things feel a little bit more grounded, maybe, or just feel a little bit more tangible.
Yeah, yeah. It felt very, I don't want to say very high concept, but it felt very British. It felt very like a film four type beat.
Well, it is, I mean?
yeah it felt very, I don't want to say the film's bad, but I don't think it was all for me. I do greatly appreciate it, but I just think especially with what was there and what could have been, I think that's what sours me on it a bit more. But it is a very it is a good piece of film. It is shot very well, and again I did really enjoy like the commentary, especially that Ian Wright's character, I forget, Lord Kitchener, adds to it as well. So you know, I'm not all sour on the film.
Yeah, I will also say that the music was really great. I was like walking along to loads of songs. I really enjoyed the set, and I know loads of people have like praised that, and it was really interesting to hear Nathan Parker talk about like what went into the set and shoot location. So like all the bits that happen within the kitchen are actually shot in this like block in France, but also like seeing all of the parts of London that you recognize. I was like, oh, that's my auntie lives over there, or like, oh, that's near our house, and just seeing how they changed it slightly. So there were like loads of moments where I'm like, oh, that looks familiar, but it looks slightly off. And I think that really added to the like speculative kind of more futuristic element of the film, because it was like, I can recognize this, but it's not that familiar. It's like, you almost have to search within yourself for like, why do I know this place?
That being said, I do feel like the, or speculative fiction side, as you call it, I do feel like that was not necessary in this film at all. I do believe that some parts of it did kind of add to the film, but it could have been set in the modern day, it could have been set in the 2000s, it could have been set in the 90s in an estate in London, and you would have lost, I don't think you would have lost anything out of the film, to be honest. I personally don't think it adds much.
Not the drones or the, I mean, I do think it, so Kibwe spoke in the event about like how he felt that assessing it in the future just added to the stakes a little bit more.
Nah.
You don't agree? No. Nah. I think it
added the stakes. How?
I feel like if it was set today, I think it would feel a bit too on the nose personally, whereas I feel like because it was set a little bit further, it made sense. Like, we've seen things like that happen, but like to that scale, it meant that they could, like, those police raids could be even more brutal. Again, like I said before, that I don't think the tension was fully there for me, but I do think that it did dial things up a little bit by being in the future. Not, like, a whole bunch, but I don't think that was, like, meant to be the point. Like, it's not, I don't think it was aiming for, like, quite dystopian. It's almost, like, maybe within the timeline of, like, Black Mirror, where it's, like, not so far into the future, but near enough. You can like I said before, that you can recognize it, but it's, like, just turned up a little.
Oh, I mean, I'm not, it was a fully realized world. I'm not saying that. I just don't personally think it added anything to the, I don't think it added anything to the story that they were trying to tell, to the characters.
I mean, yeah, we could agree to disagree there. Cause
for sure.
I see where you're coming from, but I just don't think I came away with that. Like, I don't feel like it being in the future took anything away from it.
It didn't take anything away. It just didn't add anything.
I think it added a little bit of spice or something.
I think all of my criticisms of this film feel very personal to me, to be honest. Mm-hmm. I might be wrong. People might turn around and say, no, they agree with me, but it feels very personal to me. You know, you watch films where you're like, who the hell would even want to watch this? But I can watch this and see people enjoying it and taking away from it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Could do an English lit class on it or something.
Yeah. So. Well, going back to kind of full circle moment, I guess I'm trying not to rate things as much, because I think that sometimes it's like that kind of does a disservice to whatever it is that you're talking about. And obviously in the other episodes and stuff that I've been doing, I'm not really assigning things a rating, I'm just talking about them. So I'm not gonna ask what your rating is. There's like two things. So the first thing is seeing what kind of Daniel and even Kibwe have like established here. What else would you want to see from Daniel Kaluuya in the future? I guess like if he was going to listen to this episode, you were going to be like, now that you've seen what his like writing style is and what his director style is, what would you want to see from him or kind of expect to see in the future?
I don't think there's anything I particularly want to see, but in terms of like from all like Black creators and directors and producers and whatever, I guess I just want to see more. I don't know what you like. I don't know if there's a term. I just like just films with Black people in them that kind of tell a good story with good thematic elements that we can identify with, but also isn't too on the nose. I was going to say black normalism, but I don't think that's even a term.
I mean, like, you could coin it if you want to coin it.
Like, you know, just films with us in it that are not like those weird films where you've got Idris Elba playing some guy called Dennis Rogers or something that you know the script was written for anyone or something. But, you know, films like, you know, there's quite a few that I think Michael B. Jordan's produced that are like just random films like that. That one that we saw on Netflix that I can't remember. That he appeared at the end. He was at the end of it.
Oh, where, like, he had his fun with the magical powers.
Maybe. No, that wasn't that Reason Dion.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, but you know, he produced that as well. Oh, that's another example. It wasn't that I was thinking of. But yeah, just more things like that, you know?
Yeah.
This was a bit too... the man, and they come into, you know, the usual.
I would like to see that too, but I think from Daniel Kaluuya specifically, seeing what he's done here, I think I would like to see, I wouldn't mind seeing more of this, but just with more stakes and more, like, just push it a little bit to the extreme. I really like, you know, we don't get a lot of sci-fi films within London that feature black people in them. We're starting to get more of them. So I think having more genre films, kind of in the way that Isaac began the event, talking about, you know, expecting Attack the Block to be that film that was going to change the game. And he did also mention, like, obviously Attack the Block is like brilliant movie, but it is written and was made by a white person. And, you know, having the importance of like movies that are made for us, by us, I think this is kind of like a step in the right direction. And I'm hoping that the fact that so many people have watched it, or I assume that so many people have watched it, is gonna like push more films like that. As you know, I like genre films, I like sci-fi and all that kind of stuff, but I do think it's important to like diversify that as much, and like to be able to see like London in that light. Or it doesn't even have to be London, it could be Slough, you know. Why, let's make a sci-fi movie that's in Slough. Slough is where I'm from, by the way. I would want to see more of that, but also seeing like more of these films being pushed with like a bigger budget. They don't all have to be thematic. They could be like really funny, like Attack the Block is hilarious, and have that like chaotic energy. Yeah, I think that's what I would want to see more of.
Yeah, they can be quite, you know, like, can have, I would like a black superhero film in London. So not an actual superhero, a vigilante.
I mean, I really miss shows like Misfits. And like, I think that's more of what I want to see. Like, you know, there's like Channel 4 type things where it's just like a really random, amazing story about like usually young people from different walks of life. I think that's like really interesting. I also, off the back of this movie, would like to see Kane Robinson in more films. I feel like he is such a great actor. I kind of do want to see him in a role that's like very different from this role and the role that he's played in Top Boy. I'd like to see him like, I don't know, he's got good comedic timing. So I feel like I would like to see him in a comedy or something, or just like, nah. I don't know. No, I want to see how much he can do, like what his range is. I'm always curious about actors like that, because I'm just like, you're such a great serious actor, but I kind of want to see what other stuff you can do as well. And the whole cast, actually, to be fair, like, I would like to see them in more stuff. I think it's like really cool, the community that they built on that set. Yeah, do you have any other thoughts before we go? Would you recommend this movie to a friend? Actually, what type of person would you recommend this movie to? I think that's going to be like the new model that I sign off with. Who is this movie for, if you're going to recommend it to someone?
I don't know who this movie is for, but personally, this is actually the type of film that I would recommend to everyone to watch and then discuss afterwards. The people that I wouldn't recommend it to, I might warn people and say it's a slow film.
I would recommend it to someone like myself who likes genre films with black people in them, who likes themes. I think, like you said, I think you do kind of have to go into this movie, like, you can't be someone who needs everything explained to you. Like, you do need to go into this movie with a degree of like doing applying your own life experiences, I guess, or like having that worldly view that you can apply to it, I would say. But if you enjoy doing that or you don't mind doing that, I think this is a good movie for you. I think, like you said, also, I would recommend everyone to just watch it because I think it brings up some interesting themes and like things that we don't see that often. So it's probably just a good conversation for everyone to have anyway.
I think it did. I feel like this is the type of experience that I would have enjoyed more if it was a theatre play, to be honest with you. I could see myself watching this in the theatre and enjoying it a lot more. I know that sounds weird, but yeah.
No, yeah, I think even as a book, it would have been quite good. Because I think speculative fiction, I don't think has fully... I guess Black Mirror kind of does it, but it does lean more towards sci-fi. I think speculative fiction is more of something that I come across with books. And I feel like it works well there. So I guess I wouldn't say that it's completely translates to screen. But it is a genre film, I will say that. I wouldn't call it hard sci-fi. But even, to be fair, Kibwe himself said that he didn't necessarily consider it sci-fi either because he would think of, like, Blade Runner or something. And I agree. So I would say genre, but not sci-fi. Don't go into this movie thinking that it's going to be a sci-fi movie. Go into it thinking it's a story about a father and a son.
Yeah, I agree.
Thank you for joining me today. Do you have anything you want to say to the people?
I have nothing to say to anyone. I hate you all. I hate you all.
Okay. Well, that's an episode.
This is why I got kicked off the podcast, guys. Nah, I'm joking. I'm joking.
the real story of what happened. That's an episode. Thank you. Bye-bye. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Nerd Alternative. If you liked what you heard, please leave us a rating and a review. You can find more of us on Twitter at The Nerd Alternative without the E after the N, Instagram and TikTok at The Nerd Alternative, as well as our YouTube channel. Peace out until next time.